You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Dog Pound. Be sure to tune in to News Channel 5, the new TV home of the Browns, every Sunday for the Browns pregame coverage all season long, beginning at 11 a.m. And tonight, 7:30, News Channel 5, the Mike Pettine Coaches Show, driven by Liberty Ford. Go talk to Josh McCown, break down his great game against the Ravens, talk with the head coach of the Browns, Mike Pettine, talk with Duke Johnson. And by the way, Mike Pettine, here's a spoiler, talks about the GCC in CLE, Matt Wilhelm.
Does he now?
Oh, he does. Yes, indeed. All right, we're going to go to the phone lines real quickly. But before we do, we said we were going to go inside the mind of Matt.
It's a scary place, man.
All right, what was the key to stopping Peyton Manning from your days with the San Diego Superchargers? By the way, that song is awesome.
It is.
I was dancing. I loved it.
San Diego
Superchargers.
There you go.
Yeah.
The key to paying Peyton Manning is what we always used to do, regardless of what defense was called. Man, zone, blitz, zone pressure, zero coverage, didn't matter, is every defensive back lined up at about 7.5 yards. Okay? Safeties, corners, whatever. And every linebacker and defensive lineman would be in a two-point stance. And late in the down, get into the three-point stance. Every linebacker would be walk up to the line of scrimmage, and we would simply be walking around. Wade Phillips was the mastermind behind this. We would be walking around, goofing around almost, when the play clock was somewhere between 19 and 8. 7 seconds, maybe.
Okay.
Because what we determined based around our studies was Peyton Manning could not change the play past a certain number on the play clock. Past 5 seconds, he could not flip the play. He could not signal it, get the ball snapped to him, and efficiently run a play. Either he'd take a delay a game or it forced a timeout. So we would do whatever we wanted throughout the play clock. And so we would mug and mug out and show up, show back, move around. The inside linebackers would flip. The outside linebackers would flip. But once the play clock got to 7 seconds, we would run to our position to be able to execute our defense because we knew Peyton Manning could not change the play. That's one. Okay. The other focal point when it comes to playing Peyton Manning, and it's a lot of the same why I said it's different to play Peyton and it's different to play Tom Brady, is for everyone who actually in the last, as old as I am, if you ever watched the great show American Gladiators, right? And they have those platforms that are raised up above that the joust, right?
Yeah.
Those platforms above ground where you're trying to beat each other up. Those platforms are about, 3 feet by 3 feet, obviously in diameter,
mm-hmm.
right? And imagine that 3 foot by 3 foot area centered around Peyton Manning at whatever depth his drop is. If he's in gun, he might take one more step back and then draw a circle around him. Or if he's in, under center, once he get back to his proper depth, draw that circle around him. Get him off his spot, however you can do it. If you bring a significant rush off one side, make him move 2 steps left. And what we did, even back in our day before it was the thing to do, there was an analytical breakdown that we had done that our defensive quality control guy would do. And literally his passing percentage and the number of his passing percentage would drop by 20 points and the interception ratio would go up from, 8 to 1 down to 4 to 1. He would throw every 4 passes. He would, when you got him to move 2 steps to his left, you made him move 2 steps to his right, throw off his back foot or force him to step up because you bring pressure around him. Yes, he's stepping up into his throw, but no, we kept our nose tackle in the middle and forced our center just to ram back into him, not allowing him to step into his throws.
And so the only way to do that though is with pressure and winning up front, correct?
100%. And that's what I mean, again, in a Wade Phillips system, we had utter confidence, and throughout the week we had mastered it. I mean, to the point where Peyton Manning, I remember it like it was yesterday, he does apple, apple, and he's yelling out a signal. Some of them are dummy, some of them are not. To the point where we were so comfortable in that goof around time pre-snap that he reached across the line of scrimmage and goes 57's the mic, and we smacked his hand back across the line of scrimmage. We knew the ball wasn't getting snapped. We weren't compromising
our
stuff.
That's not an encroachment?
They didn't call it.
Interesting.
And we're and he would.
Who smacked him? You?
Stephen Cooper, the other inside linebacker. But
he's
then,
lucky he only smacked him with his hand.
Right. Once he started using once he started using the same words, his flip words to flip a play, you know, to, the apple, you know, all those other words that he uses, we just started screaming him out. So then his offensive line had to determine Peyton's voice yelling a word that they hear in that offensive scheme and us yelling out a word, you know, in his offensive scheme. Basically, discombobulation.
So what was it like? So when you say that, and we're going to take a break right after this, when you say that, that means that, you know, you guys had the utmost respect for him in some sense.
Oh, yeah.
But at the same time, you had to go above and beyond to try to combat what he did.
Playing Peyton Manning in the season, we put the emphasis on playing Peyton Manning in the season almost as if the amount of time and effort you put into playing your week one opponent. You wanted to master him and create a custom game plan for him that you're only going to execute against Peyton Manning and maybe against Tom Brady. Everyone else is different.
That's awesome. Awesome stuff. Great insight from Matt Wilhelm there. All right, we'll be back with our final thoughts right after this on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.